March 18th, 1992. I'm in Vista, California with Beatrice Kniff. This is Cheryl Throckmorton conducting the interview.
I notice in your questionnaire that you were born in Portland, Oregon. Do you have to remember what brought your family to California?
Yes, my ill health. You want me to flip it? I had very bad asthma, and the doctor said that I should leave Portland, or probably I wouldn't live when I was 4 years old. Oh, dear.
In the time of the Depression, and what was life like for you and your family?
Very difficult. We barely got by without going on relief. We did manage to get by without going on relief. But it meant no traveling, no going to movies, no anything extra was absolutely out. The best we did for entertainment was the library.
So, would you say there were many hardships at that time?
Yes, I certainly would say that. We didn't have refrigeration. We cooked on an oil stove. No washer dryer. We had, for the most part, we had no bathing facilities. We had an indoor toilet. We didn't have any bathing facilities. It was a scramble. That's all. My parents were separated, and so my mother was in ill health. My father contributed $35 a month to my support. And we pretty much got by with that, plus the rent from the big house on the property we were living on.
So you lived with just your mom at that time?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of unusual for those days? I mean, I know families have troubles, but in a sense, wasn't that unusual for that time to have single parents?
Yes, it was. It was unusual.
I was curious as to what the opportunities were for women in those days.
The opportunities? For work for myself? I did housework. I also, on weekends, worked at a dance hall where I served drinks. I did work it was ranch work in a way. We had vegetables and strawberries, and I helped pick them and sell them. I guess that was about what it was.
Well, basically what I was wondering is, when you finished high school, what did you see for yourself? What could, at that time...
But as I finished high school, what did I see for myself?
Right. What was out there for women at that time?
I didn't have any idea. And I said to my mother that I wanted to go to school, to go to college. She said, well, we don't have any money. So I said, well, I could work, maybe. And she seemed rather reluctant to have me go ahead. I felt that there was a certain hesitancy about it because we were down to the point where we were threadbare. We didn't have things like our appointments for the house and things like bed clothes were just practically non-existent. They were threadbare, literally. So it was a time when I think she felt maybe I should have gone to work to sort of recoup the fortunes, as it were. But I didn't see any prospect for work, and I did have a desire to go to college.
Uh, when you got to school, was there a large population of women at the school?
I can't remember that there was.
Perhaps
seemed to me as if there were more men than women.
And being a woman going to college at that time, did you feel you had to work harder, to get to, I guess,
in competition? Or?
Not necessarily competition, but being a woman as opposed to being a man in school. Did you feel you had to work harder, or did you have to work harder?
Well, I felt that men had more of a hold on things. They had what seemed like job opportunities, if there were any, would be more open to a man than to a woman.
So the reason why you went to... So what, besides the limitation of jobs, was there any other basic reasons why you went to school?
Say that again, please.
Besides the limitations of jobs at the time, was there any other reason why you wanted to go to school?
Yes, I was beginning to get interested in school in my senior year in high school. I hadn't up to that time, but I had some good teachers. And so I decided I was interested in going to school.
And what did you want? I mean, what did you want to study when you got to school?
I really didn't know. My mother said, well, you should be a teacher. But I was influenced by my mother. She had seen me work with little children, and she decided that I had a capability with children, so she thought I should be a teacher. So I went to school, and I took courses heading in that direction, that being the most probable thing that I could do.
And seeing how you had financial trouble at the time, how did you pay for college?
Well, my father came through with not much. My mother, I think it was only $65 a semester at that point. I can't believe it now. But we got the tuition, and then I right away quit going to work when I got to school, when I got to college. And
what kind of jobs did you hold at that time?
Well, I think one of the first jobs I had was working in the training school cafeteria, washing dishes, serving, making sandwiches, just generally helping out the woman who was in charge, also working as cashier at the cafeteria. Then I went on, NYA, I guess it was called. And I worked in the library. And when I was working in the library, one of my professors called me and asked me if I would like to work for him. So I said I would. So I went to work for Mr. Brooks, geology professor. And I worked for him for 2 years, 2.5, maybe 3 years. So I was secretary, and I also did some reading in my senior year. I continued to work at the training school cafeteria, but I no longer worked at the library where I started in working. That plus weekend jobs, working at that dance hall and doing housework for neighbors, was pretty much how I got along.
I was curious, in your questionnaire, it said that you drove a car to school.
Did I?
That's what, according to the questionnaire.
Oh, yes, I lived in Oklahoma. So my mother had a 1925 Chevrolet. And I drove that 25 Chevy.
Isn't that unusual at the time to have a car, though?
Well, the campus had a parking lot, and the parking lot was full of cars. So it wasn't too unusual. It was the only way I could never have gotten there. There was no public transportation from El Cajon to San Diego at that time. Not on a basis that I could handle school at school.
I'm curious, the first day that you stepped onto the campus, what was running through your mind?
Oh, I was scared to death. I thought, I didn't know whether this was going to be something I could do, or I just didn't know what to expect. And meeting people, and this pretty much of a chore, because I wasn't a very outgoing person. I had a tendency to be quite shy. So, confronting the world is a big step.
Did you, that first day, did you see your future, coming into focus, or were you kind of just a little too scared to think of that at the time?
Did I do what?
Did you, when you first stepped on the campus, did you see your future unfolding for you?
No, I just took it one day at a time. I had responsibilities at home. My mother was ill, and I had we had problems with the 10-acre farm that we were living on. We had difficulty with the well and the pump and getting water and keeping tenants in the house that we rented. And that's.
Right now, as I'm going to school, our major problem right now is getting classes, because there's a shortage of them. Do you recall any major problems when you were attending school?
No, I never had a problem.
None?
I can't think of... If possible, there may have been one or two classes that I was not able to get into. But otherwise, I know there wasn't more than that. There's no problem at all. Please get into classes.
But besides classes, was there any other problems?
At school?
Yes.
Yes, there was, there was a problem of being as well dressed as I would have liked to be. And some of the girls, I was really amazed, some of the girls that I thought, gee, they came to school so beautifully dressed, and I found later that they were on welfare. That was just the way it was. Anyway, finally in one year, I don't know who it was that took pity on me, but the dean of women called me again and said that she had some clothes, and would I be interested in some of the clothes that I could probably wear, nice clothing that the wives of the professors had and donated. Well, that was a windfall. So that was one place where I lucked out.
Do you have any vivid memories of your time at State?
Oh, yes. It was the first time I had... I think that the thing that was most dramatic in my whole time at State College was the time that I worked for Baylor Brooks and took geology, went on all the wonderful field trips. I had never been on... I had just been bound. No trips of any kind, anywhere, ever. And suddenly the whole of San Diego County opened up to me because we went on all over the place on field trips, which was just simply breathtaking to me. It was wonderful. And my association with the people, with the group, was so great that I loved it. And I also liked something else that I found. I enjoyed very much that the library, great big sort of dark, and not like that anymore, but then it was then, with a massive feeling, and big heavy tables and chairs, and I could go in there and I could read poetry, and just sit and study and be quiet and sort of get not have the feeling of being constantly hammered and pressured by things that I had to do at home. It gave me a sort of a release from the niggardly little things that I had to handle at home, like going down to the well and helping the neighbor fix the pump, and taking care of the chickens and doing things like that.
How was your life benefited by going to state?
Oh, I can't imagine if I hadn't gone to state what it would be. It opened up the whole world for me. I mean, I had an opportunity to get a job, and I had an opportunity from that job to progress and do things that I wanted to do, pretty much. Not be completely swallowed by the depression. And that was a difficult time.
What career did you choose? You went into teaching?
Yes. I was interested in two areas. I was interested in English, and I was interested in teaching. But English wouldn't get me very far, but teaching did. I mean, it was a career.
How many years did
35 you... 35 years.
That is a career. Going back to state, what was your social life back then?
I didn't have any social life. I went to school, and I worked, and I had to work hard at school, and I worked in the geology lab and in the geology office. I never dated. Oh, I went to a few dances, but I wasn't a social butterfly by any means. I just found that I didn't have time. I had too much else to do. So I had to hit the ball and hang in there, and so that's what I was doing. I wasn't thinking at the moment of what was going on then. But I was so delighted to have gotten in with this group of geology students that was my social life, actually. Other than that, I didn't join a sorority. That was just it.
Speaking of sororities, I was just curious. Nowadays, sororities and fraternities are just party all the time. What were they like back then?
Well, I thought that for the most part they were pretty socially oriented, partying and social events, and I had sort of a feeling that you couldn't be poor and join. I mean, you had to have money, at least a little bit of money, to join any of the sororities. And you had to have a certain amount of background and who your parents were, and I think that made a difference. A sorority was formed by a group of geology girls, and I joined that. And we were the ones that formed the group. Several of us, my friend and myself. Anyway, it wasn't much of a sorority. Actually, we were more interested in getting out and going on trips. And as a group of girls, we could also join the boys' Delvers group and go out with them too. So that was good.
What benefits did the New Deal programs have for the school at that time?
Well, the NYA, National Youth Authority, gave work. And without that, I couldn't have hung in there. Because I wasn't making it in that little job I had in the cafeteria. That was helping, but not. I know I couldn't have done it. So that was a tremendous thing. Pull me out of the hole, along with a lot of others.
You mentioned that at that time you're living on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I understand, it's a lot different from city life. Do you think living on a farm had a beneficial effect on you? Or would you maybe prefer to live in the city at the time?
And it was difficult living on a farm because it was, at that particular time, because of the Depression, we didn't have a telephone. And so I was isolated. Without a telephone, you really are isolated. I liked the country. I was in El Cajon. It wasn't a farm of like many, many acres. It was only 10 acres. But we had, we hired a Dutch gardener. We didn't hire him. He came and worked our property, raising vegetables and selling. And then we got a percentage of whatever he sold. So that was one of the things that helped me with school, being able to get through school. So in my senior year, I had was having a problem with allergies, and so the last semester, I lived in a dormitory at State College. So I was close. I had a lot of work to do, and I was working at the geology office quite a number of hours, and so anyway, that worked out well. And it was, I didn't get so tired because I get awfully tired driving that old car back and forth to El Cajon. It was not too dependable a car.
Do you think living on a farm taught you values more than perhaps others learned in city life?
Well, it was the Depression, I think, that brought everything into focus, you know. The basic things had to be addressed. And I don't know that it had too much to do with my sense of values. I think that my parents influenced me more on that area.
Looking back at those times, do you have any fond memories, things that you'll always remember?
Oh, definitely the geology experience. I had that. Certainly always remember that. I had to run in with one of my supervising teachers when I was doing student teaching. And that was an unhappy memory, but at the same time, although it was unhappy for me in a way, it was, I found out that I had a lot of friends that I didn't really realize I had because they supported me and against her. And she was, she and I just didn't get along. But anyway, then she very greatly took away whatever self-esteem I had and whatever confidence I had in the teaching area. But then I met Marguerite Breidegaard, who has just recently died, I think. She was a completely redeeming person for me because she turned me around 100%. She headed me in the right direction. So I went and I came through the student practice teaching with I got a B in practice teaching, which was good. Would have been better if I'd had an A, but then on the other hand, with that other teacher, I was going down the tubes. She and I didn't get along. So that was a very positive experience, finding out when I really realized that I could handle children and handle a whole 40 kids at a time, you know. I mean, that was, for a while, I wasn't doing too well. But then I got and I enjoyed it.
Speaking of kids, with 35 years in education, you've seen quite a few. Do you think children have changed over these years? Or?
Oh, I think so. I think that they have. I think that as a whole, they're more hyperactive than they were, for whatever reasons. There are many that they put forth. But children accepted the authority of the teacher when I first started teaching, more so than when I was quitting. I never had any problems with kids, though. I mean, I really never ran into a situation that I had to run from. I handled it. But I know that it was... I ran into a lot of children that were much more emotionally disturbed. Much more.
Do you think the changing family values, whereas meaning that family life started to have problems, well, of course the war split families up and the women had to go to work, but then the 50s they were back home, but then the 60s it kind of changed again, and nowadays it's like two parents working. Do you think that has some devastating effect on the children?
I think it's bad. I think that it's ideal if two people can work together and one person has time enough to give to her children. The woman would have time enough to give to children. I know that children suffer because they don't have their parents. I know that. I know my own children did because I had to go to work. And so it was hard for them. Of course, some parents can juggle a career and children and everything seemingly very well and do better than some parents are home all the time yelling at their kids. So, you don't know. The individual situations vary.
So, you obviously were married and had children, but you said you had to work. Did you do that because you wanted to or out of need?
Well, I had to work. I had, at first, when I first had children, my mother was living by herself. She was ill. I had to take care of her. She was an alcoholic. We were living in Los Angeles. And so I had to come down every 3 or 4 weeks and take care of her. She had to have oxygen, and I had to take oxygen to her. So my husband was away a lot. He was connected with church activities, Unitarian church activities in the East. And he was very active in West Coast Unitarian groups. Consequently, between that and his job, he wasn't home. And everything seemed fell on my shoulders. So I had to scramble. Well, then a little bit later, finally, it wasn't working out, so we got a divorce. And when that happened, then I had to go to work, and that's when I started teaching full-time.
Was your life any harder after the Depression as it was during the Depression?
After the Depression?
Your life was, fairly tough during the Depression. Was your life ever that tough again when it was over and after college?
Oh, not economically. Not at all. It was so. I didn't have to worry about where the money was coming from to buy food. Well, it seemed like we never had enough money to go around. I kept having to borrow from my mother, for instance. And I don't know if it was a lack of wisdom in how money was spent in my husband and myself. And I was always appalled at the way he spent money. And he was appalled at how I didn't want to spend money. And I don't know where he thought it was coming from, but that, anyway. But I was teaching when he was finishing up college. And we always lived it up. I mean, we had just under the wire, you know. With my mother's help, we were able to buy our first house. With my mother's help, we were able to buy this house. And without her help, I don't know, we probably would have struggled along. But it was nicer being able to have our own home, which we couldn't have had if it hadn't been for her.
It sounds as though you were a little bit concerned about money throughout your marriage. Do you think you learned that during the Depression, that you have to kind of be careful just in case?
Oh, yes. I think that's something I've never gotten away from entirely. I always am trying to be...